And a happy good evening and good afternoon to the West Coast, good evening to the East Coast, and good morning to the European continent. William Todd here. ICANN coaching and training on the 24th of August, 2016. Pleasure to be with your company again this week, week three of ICANN 2. I want to just say thank you for all the emails of those of you that fell off the horse and found your way back into the saddle. Congratulations. I didn't know we were going to have that dramatic of a response on the horse riding and the repetitions, but I appreciate your honesty and I appreciate your decision and your discipline to jump right back on and pick up right where you left off. Do want to apologize to some of you. May have been a little bit of a miscommunication. Some of you thought that that lesson was just for a week. But if you go back to the past recordings, we actually urge you, it should be a lesson for the rest of your life, but at least 21 consecutive days is the key to form a new habit, to take that paradigm and make that shift. So if you can just go and 21-day increments or 30-day increments five times a day, you're going to make that a permanent habit, and that's what this is all about. Michael, welcome back from vacation.
Thank you, William. And by the way, it was Miami, not Barbados, but thanks anyway.
Okay, well, it was still turquoise water. How did you enjoy yourself?
It sure was. Kids loved it. We loved it. It was a great time, and I was happy to be able to have the recording to listen to on playback, so thanks for the recordings.
So what did you learn in the first couple of weeks, Mike, that you maybe not have been able to testify to in ICANN 1? Anything jump out at you?
Well, I like the story that reminded of the fact that, you know, we couldn't fly at one point in time. I like that story because it's all about shifting paradigms. And, you know, we limit our behavior according to our beliefs, and all our beliefs really do are gatekeepers to our future possibilities. Whether it's possible or not possible is based on what we believe to be true, and it's not often the truth that we believe, just what we believe to be true. So brushing off some of the old cobwebs and going through this process of undoing some of the beliefs, undoing some of the learning, I think it's clear, and you're never too old for this. You've never done this enough times. I find it refreshing.
Did you have a chance traveling? I know traveling in the summer can be interesting. Did you have an opportunity to put your ICANN attitude to use in the airlines or the rental cars or the hotel?
You know it. I got to tell you one thing. For those people out there in Miami, especially the people at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel, boy, they are on top of their game, these guys. They all had an ICANN attitude. I couldn't believe how great that service was there. So I just want to hats off to them.
Customer centric focus. You got a little bit of that.
They have it nailed. They have it nailed. I swear. I'm thinking South Beach has got something going on right now because they really know this.
Well, Mike, have you ever had an In-N-Out burger in California?
I have not.
Oh my goodness. Well, it's not something that you probably want to have weekly in your diet, but when we crossed over the border, it's one of my first things coming into California that I just love to experience an In-N-Out burger. And it was, I told Deborah, I said, let's just skip lunch and let's just go the extra miles and let's get to the hotel and let's get to the In-N-Out burger and let's just enjoy a nice burger. And so I like mine prepared animal style, which is a long story, but I was so excited. And the line, the drive-through line was almost 2 miles long. And I just, Deb was at the hotel unpacking, and I just couldn't wait to get back and get my teeth sunk into this double animal cheeseburger. It had been like, I don't know, probably 6 or 7 months since I've been here last to have one. And I got back to the hotel, and I opened it up, and they forgot to put the patties in. I got a vegetarian. So I got two buns and a sesame, you know, with some condiments. And Deb goes, "You got to drive back." I said, "No way." The line was 2 miles long. I'm not setting back through that line. And I watched her sit there and enjoy her single animal style. And she said, "Do you want a bite?" And I said, "No, it wasn't meant to be." But I did decide to take a picture of it, Mike. And you can send in your complaints or your your experiences to this place, I had the most incredible customer-centric experience with a guy named Chad. I sent him the picture. He phoned me immediately. They immediately put me on to the supervisor at the store. He offered to drive down to the hotel with another burger. They don't even deliver. He offered to get in his car and bring it down. And then they sent me, are you ready for this? $50 of gift certificates.
Wow.
For future stays. Now, the only sad part to that is I'm still in California. They don't do it electronically, so it got sent to the mailbox. But I got to tell you, it was a cheeseburger. I mean, come on, a cheeseburger. But they went out of their way to make sure that I will remain a loyal customer every time I come into California. So, you know, there is something to this because I typically wouldn't have been aware of something like this. But like the Ritz-Carlton, like you said, Mike, it's real obvious when we come in contact with somebody that gets the customer-centric focus.
William, I don't want to get—I don't want this point to get away on us here because, you're a satisfied customer. Yep, they did. That's not the point. You're on a telephone call with people all over North America, with people in Europe and Germany, and you're talking about a branded restaurant and how much you like their burger. You're telling their story. That's what customer-centric service will do every time.
You're absolutely right, Marty, and I'm going to call them back. That should be a $100 gift certificate based on that endorsement. You're right. Marty Jeffrey, everybody, take it away.
He just brings a new meaning to the word incorrigible. That's all. Hi, everybody. And lesson three, and it's so apropos after that introduction, business by principle. In business, principle business almost sounds like an oxymoron, but it's not, I promise. And there is nothing cultish or religious about it either. It is just this simple, really. When you stay on principle, you can succeed regardless of what has occurred before and despite of the current evidence to the contrary. So we begin this week by making the ICANN concept you memorized last week a working part of your mind, a working part of your business. My ICANN attitude is a manifestation of my thoughts, feelings, and actions. My ICANN attitude and my results are inseparable. They follow one another like night follows day. Now, the word manifestation means bringing something out of thought into the physical, into something material, something we can touch, see, taste, smell, or hear. All of creation works this way. It starts with thought, then there's word, action. Repeated actions become habit. Habits form your character, and your character will form your destiny. So, yes, you are creating your own reality. When we think about and talk about doing something, that's one thing. But when we take good actions and we repeat those good actions, they become a part of our character. And character is what will define your future. Stated in the simplest terms, habits define character. Hence, repetition is king at ICANN. We choose to develop good habits. We stop negative thoughts and negative conversations. And we take good actions in order to develop a good character. Character is always there when you most need it. Now, when we approach anyone about NECANN, especially if they're new to these technologies, we take along our thoughts, we express our feelings, and we take actions to create a result. We transmit our I can or I cannot attitude in the way we manifest or bring into their reality the ideas and the products of NECANN. My I can attitude and my results are inseparable. They follow one another like night follows day. Now, this may all sound very philosophical, but It's the reason that some of us can bring people to the products and the business of Niken, while others struggle. Where you are in line with what you believe, people are far more likely to want what you offer. They see, hear, and they sense the truth, so you manifest your results. So what specific thoughts and actions will increase your success with customers? First, and this is almost backwards from what many networks teach, we need a solid retail foundation. That's job one. This is true because when you have a faulty foundation, anything you build on it will eventually tip over. This is very logical, really. Let me illustrate the point with a look at America's television phenomenon called The Dragon's Den. Now, in this show, a group of judges, rich entrepreneurs, listen as the people who come to the program present their business idea. And after a few frenzied minutes of explanation and demonstration, these highly animated business hopefuls ask the judges, these entrepreneurs, to underwrite their idea. Now, the judges, who appear almost godlike at this point and incredibly wise, will then ask the damning question, do you have a proof of concept? In other words, is anyone buying your idea? Are you doing any business? Do you have any sales? What they're really asking is there a retail foundation for the idea? Does it manifest in sales and profit? Remember, manifesting is bringing into reality. You have an idea, but can it become reality? This is why we need a solid, repeatable, ongoing retail base in our Niken business, because when we upgrade our customers or when we just invite others to join us in this adventure, they need to know that we have a proof of concept, a successful little business that can be leveraged to create what we call a silver or a gold or a royal diamond ship, what they would call a huge success. In Niken, a solid retail base is made up of recurring orders from a group of customers. Now, the ship to dates may vary, but your business foundation requires people on auto ship. Your upline can show you how to do that, but for now, let's be very clear on why it is essential. What principles are used to attract the people who will become those retail customers? I will explain one principle at a time, followed by a suggestion for repeatable, teachable systems that you can use. The first one is called My Five and I. Now, it's always a good idea to apply what you learn as you go. Today is the only day you have. So work your Niken business each day and never wait for just the right information or system to arrive. You must apply your I can attitude today. My dad used to say it this way, get as far as you can down the road and you will see the rest of the way down the road. So let's talk principled business. Do you remember the Simon Sinek statement from lesson one? He said, if you don't understand people, you don't understand business. Well, that's true. But it doesn't mean you have to become a psychologist or a doctor or a slick salesperson. It does mean that you will have to, with your mentor and sponsor, find a way to keep each presentation interesting and very real. For example, if you sound too techy or too medical, you will delay your success. We used to say, high tech, low check. It's so easy to spend too much time explaining how it works and not why it could help them. And when we do that, it has become all about us. We will sound like we're selling something. So ask yourself this question, how would you like to be treated? It just means learning to limit our talk, learning to listen, and truly understanding what they are saying. So what habit can we form to make this happen? Well, each time you present Niken, Make it a habit to get into your right mind before you speak. Not by projecting old thoughts and feelings onto what they are saying. Really attempt to understand their why. Listen to discover the way or ways what you have is just what they want. This is not the way most businesses are being run. We're asking you to suspend judgment and listen. You're listening for a direction, a clue. It is how to know which idea or product to feature. We gather this information before and during the meeting. Now, you may be wondering how. So let's start with the first of the five marketing principles that lies under our approach. And for the record, a principle is a rule or a law. In marketing, these rules are often mistaken as a fad, but what we call a fad is the result of hitting a principle dead on. Our first principle was identified from a survey of 10,000 customers who were in a long-term relationship with a company. Access is the rule on how we approach people and gain their permission to speak and demonstrate Niken. Regarding access, the surveyed people said, "Give me a solution. Help me out in a bind." A solution. Yes. To gain access, we must have a reason to begin the conversation. And it's always best if we have a general idea of what they need. I remember a number of years ago, I heard a seasoned sales professional in Niken say, "Don't answer questions that aren't asked." Well, what does that mean? How does that apply in a Niken self-care presentation? Well, to begin, it means that I may have arrived at the presentation with any number of assumptions, good and not so good. Perhaps I have assumed that my potential customer already knows all about and agrees with self-care, prevention, and the entire complementary medical model. Or maybe you already assume that they will resist and that they're not going to buy anything. Well, that's quite an assumption. And you might say, "Well, I would never do that." But that is exactly what we do when we just start into a presentation without first understanding why this person or group of people may need us. So let's drill that deep into our subconscious. Make it your habit to ask yourself this question every time: why does this person need us? It's a waste of everyone's time just to talk until you hit on something or to answer questions that haven't been asked. So how do we know where to go? And how do we know what to say? Well, before I engage anyone, I must find out why they might need our solution. Please note that I'm not saying find out where it hurts. The people with the aches and pains are usually more forthcoming with the why. But what about that vaster market? People wanting to feel better, perform longer, those wishing to avoid the consequences of poor air, food, and lifestyle. Now, Niken is totally unique in this area because of the five life concepts. This is why we developed the self-awareness quiz. You can gain insight into your prospect if they're willing to take the SAQ. If you meet in a coffee shop, why not suggest that they take the quiz right there on their phone? Or if you're doing an in-home, get everyone to take the quiz. It takes 5 minutes at the beginning of the meeting, and it's fun to see that no person is perfect. There is no right score. It is something that we can do for them. We help them see that what we are presenting is of value to them. Now, you'll get an idea of where this presentation should go. Remember, we were into social entrepreneurship before someone made up that term. Niken can offer more than a healthy body. Niken products are mood-altering. They can reduce stress. Can we identify an area of mutual interest and trust? People are very interested in learning about cost-effective ways to enjoy life. So here's the real takeaway from this part of our session today. Identify their why before you get into the presentation. If you've been coached and mentored properly, you already know this. But I'm asking you, what routine, what habit do you have in place to ensure that this is what will take place every time? It's like golf in the sense that the real professionals have a routine before each swing. And that's not all. They think of where they are on the course and what the challenge may be in real time as it's happening and before they swing at anything. In golf, this is called course management. And when you hear the pros talking about making a mental mistake, they are referring to the fact that they didn't pay attention to their surroundings before they got into their routine and swing. So manage each situation and where you engage with the customer. It's critical. This is more difficult, of course, if you're talking to someone on a plane or in a grocery store, but those meetings really are more to set up a time and a place to talk. Environment matters. Once it's a formal meeting, there are a few rules or suggestions we can habitually remind ourselves about. Am I in a place in which they can concentrate? Can they hear me? Ask them, can you hear me? Do they have time to see this right now? Ask them, do you have time to see this right now? It shows respect. You will teach them how to treat you by creating a respectful atmosphere. Once everyone is settled, let them know you are about to begin. Baby crying, phone ringing, your clients distracted, stop. It's better to reschedule than to talk over unnecessary noise or distraction. And that goes for you and your inside environment too. If your old left brain suddenly tells you that you don't deserve their attention and respect, call on your I can attitude. And if that still isn't enough, get over yourself. Do it because you represent NECANN. Do it because you want your prospect to respect NECANN. You will be good because they need you to be good. Alrighty? Now you have their undivided attention. Good. Let's begin the presentation. Do you have an elevator talk, a routine to open the session? Remember, this is a habitual opening. You do it every time. And you would be amazed at how many people stop doing something that works because they are sick of hearing it. Your audience needs you to be disciplined about this. They haven't heard the good stuff before, so go ahead. Deliver your elevator talk. Slow down. The only person who might be tired of hearing you is you. Your elevator talk is like a thermometer. You're taking the client's temperature. A good talk should give you a real sense of direction for the meeting. Pause from time to time and nod. Now, I know that sounds crazy, but your body motion is talking too. We transmit a great deal of information by the way we look and through our actions. So again, slow down. Pause from time to time and nod. How to develop your elevator talk? Well, this is a personal story, a shared experience, an explanation of your why. An excellent and proven format is what you were like, what happened, and what you're like now. Be brief, but this information should illuminate why NECANN would be of interest to them. When crafting your talk, which should be told effectively during the time it takes to ride an elevator, remember that you are asking for access to the customer. Now, what did that survey say again regarding access? Give me a solution. Help me out in a bind. But my left brain says, how do I know if they're in the bind? I mean, how do I know if they need a solution? True. And all the more reason for the elevator talk. You see, most human interactions begin with a revelation or a question. So your elevator talk will highlight a solution or ask a question that will lead to them seeking information. You will know you're successful when they say something like, well, tell me more, or show me what you mean by that. Keep it honest. Don't tell them everything you know. I like to picture my elevator talk as an interesting storefront, a display window, a catchy heading of a news story. It has to create a need to know. Yes, it's about you, but it is really about uncovering their why. So it may include your thoughts on the lack of self-care, on the status quo emphasis on accepting the idea of chronic pain and chronic disease. It can be your experience with products before, after, and now, or an explanation of what changed for you when you found this way of life. It's going to depend on your experience. Most elevator talks I have given begin with a question, like a person would say to me, what do you do? And I would answer, but 20 years ago, I was suffering, my wife was suffering from a chronic problem with her kidneys, and we thought there was no solution, and we had actually come to accept that we were going to live with it. And then I was introduced to a technology from Japan, and it worked. She isn't sick anymore, and so it made us decide to get into the business, to let other people know about what we found. And that was over 20 years ago. Getting that information out became a full-time career. I don't know. I think it's sad sometimes how easy it is for us to be convinced that being sick is normal. Now, I've used that story many, many times, and I don't ever remember a time a person didn't ask for more information. By the way, if they don't ask me what I do, I ask them what they do. They usually reciprocate. And also, I use it when I'm beginning a home presentation. That is, I use a similar story by prefacing it with something like, I was on a flight the other day, or I was on a in a store the other day, and a person asked me what I did for a living. And then I tell the same story. Why? Because it works. It makes them wonder if we have something for them or for someone they love. It makes them wonder what I found. It makes them ask if we have anything that can help their chronic discomfort. It opens the path for me to say that you don't have to be sick to get big benefits from this business. It can even lead me into talking about the ultimate goal, getting those I care about into a Nikin wellness home, a self-care sanctuary. So what's your story? Give me no more than 60 seconds of your why. Just pretend that someone asked you what you did or what you did, and then write that out. Just think of somebody saying that to you. Write it out and email it to me. I'm going to share a few of them next week before we go on with the next principle for building successful customer-centric businesses. Now, here's a guideline as you write that talk. It was taught to me by a great speaker and gentleman, Bill Gove. He said, tell a story, make a point. Tell a story, make a point. The rest is just presentation. If you're looking for a guideline, just go back through my talk in the foregoing page. See the pattern, and then develop one that fits for yourself. If you've already got one, good. But you may want to consider developing an elevator talk with a different emphasis in each of the five concepts. For example, mind. 20 years ago, I was introduced to a group of people with a totally different take on happiness. I had some money. I had a great career. I had a beautiful family. But, you know, I was always feeling lost. And I had never really considered the idea that everything in my life was connected, that my career was keeping me away from my beautiful family, that I was just too busy to make a living, to experience living. So when I got that, they showed me a way to make an even better living without having to be so busy all of the time. I use their five concepts to keep me on track in my health. I use it for balance and the other things in my life. I even use it when I'm helping in my community. So now I self-care. I'm not relying on the medical system and the government to smarten up. I don't feel so vulnerable and so lost. These are human connections. So here's your homework. Listen to or read, or listen to and read this lesson once each day until next week. Listen to or read lesson one 5 times a day. Remember, we need at least 27 days of that before it will actually lock into your mind for a habit. Memorize I Can Attitude Statement 2. My I Can Attitude means forming positive habits. I will choose my words carefully to reflect an I Can Attitude, which is a master key to attracting, acquiring, and maintaining customers. And point 4, write and submit your elevator talk to me. Send it to info@icanattitude.com before next week's call. Now, if you're listening and you didn't get all of this tonight, you are right on track. Our first ICANN class said the penny dropped after the second or third or even fifth reading. They also say in their emails that they didn't get lesson 2 until they completed lesson 5. Remember, you're not in your right mind in the beginning, and your left brain is telling you any number of things to keep you from changing and putting yourself at risk of succeeding. Doing nothing is no. So we form good habits. We don't demand immediate results. That can take some time. Be firm but patient with yourself and those around you, and we will talk again next week. William.
Thank you, Marty. Thank you, Michael. As a reminder, everybody, please be reminded that the ICANN training course has not been reviewed or endorsed by NECAN, Inc. We are together for good, and we don't do negative. And as Simon Sinek once said, people don't buy what you do. They buy why you do it. This is William Todd, Michael DiMuccio, and our author of ICANN 2, Marty Jeffrey. Have a great week, everybody, and have fun writing that elevator speech. We know you will. Good night, everybody.